Hey everyone, this is episode 2 of Artist Soapbox. Welcome to Artist Soapbox, a podcast for Triangle area artists to talk about their work, their plans, their manifestos. I'm Tamara Kassane. Today's episode will be broken into two parts. Part 1 will harken back to last episode, when I spoke to Mara Thomas about her playwriting process, and she proceeded to drop knowledge bombs throughout our conversation. I have chosen 3 of those, which I'm calling creative supports, to focus on in part 1 of this episode. They may seem obvious, but they're very challenging to implement when we find ourselves at the beginning of a creative process, so I hope that you will appreciate the reminder. Part 2 of today's episode, we'll touch lightly on the Artist Soapbox podcast itself and what you can expect in the coming weeks. So here I am recording solo for the first time, which is exciting and a little daunting, to be honest, because oh my goodness, do I have 20 plus minutes of material to share with a podcast audience? I guess we'll find out. Okay, here we go, part 1. During my conversation with Mara, several things jumped out at me as processes and procedures that seemed to work particularly well for her. And although it is true that we all make our own way and we all find the ways that work the best for us as creators, the things that she mentioned have also worked for me and several other people that I know who are developing plays or developing different kinds of creative work. So I thought they might be worth mentioning again today. So creative development support. Number 1, find some buddies. Surround yourself with a few cheerleaders or supporters you can check in with, who are on your side and willing to root for you during the entire process, including when you are sure that you cannot finish and you have nothing to say. You need to rely on those people to cheer you up, cheer you on, and send you on your way. You certainly don't have to depend on them to solve your problems or to give you the answers that you are looking for. Although I find that when I'm in conversation with others about the play that I'm working on, sometimes, actually very often, something that they say will spark an idea for me, or sometimes they'll mention something offhand, or sometimes they'll very clearly say, well, why don't you try this? And that has made all of the difference in the world. So writing, creating in general, can feel like a very vulnerable process. It's important to shore yourself up by surrounding yourself with people who love you, who believe in you, and who are willing to tell you that as often as you need to hear it. Mara was really smart in that she surrounded herself with an incredible support system, and I was so lucky and honored and excited to be one of those supporters. We would meet fairly regularly for coffee every 4 to 6 weeks and have conversations about where we were in our individual processes of writing plays. She would talk about questions that she had or challenges. I would do the same. And it was such a wonderful gift. I would leave our conversations feeling re-inspired and refueled. And I would go back home and feel like I could be sustained until we saw each other again as I was working on my own work. And I hope she felt the same way. So I know it can be hard to ask people to support you during a vulnerable process because you don't even know if what you're working on is going to be a thing or if it's going to be a good thing, but it can make all of the difference in the world to your energy level and your level of hope to feel like you have people who are on your side cheering you on. I'll also tell you that if you choose wisely, if you select cheerleaders and supporters who are a good fit for you, then it will be a gift that gives in both directions, because when we come together and share what sparks our imagination and our curiosity, that can create an incredible ripple effect and affect everyone around us until all of a sudden we see art popping up in all of these amazing places. I'm just so grateful every time I sit down and talk with someone about their work or they ask me about my work. It makes all the difference in the world. It makes me feel like I'm part of a community of mutually supportive artists and community members. It's a way of sharing the creative wealth. Creative support number 2, make yourself sit down and write regularly and consistently. Even if it's only 5 minutes at a time, set a timer, do whatever you need to do to make yourself write consistently, regularly. Art making is cumulative. It adds up over time, and you would be amazed if you sat down for 5 minutes, even 15 minutes every single day. By the end of a week, by the end of a month, you will have so much material to draw from. And it's that discipline that you need in order to turn something out. I think we often have this idea that if we just had, you know, some beautiful room in an attic somewhere overlooking a garden, and we had endless time, we could write the most amazing novel or play. But the reality is that almost no one has that. The luxury of time, the luxury of space, the luxury of being uninterrupted, it just doesn't exist for most of us. So the only way that we are going to create something is by making ourselves do it in small increments as often as possible. So do what you need to do to hold yourself accountable to that regular writing time. I know that Mara cleared her schedule because she knew that a deadline was coming up and she had to have that time to finish the draft. I can tell you that sometimes when I'm working on something, I will bribe myself and say, okay, if you write for 10 minutes, then you can get up and have some chocolate, or then you can check your email. So whatever tricks you need to play on yourself to get yourself to sit down and write, do it. Because ain't nobody gonna hold a gun to your head and make you write an amazing piece of art. You have to be accountable to yourself. And that's where your cheerleaders come in and your supporters, because you can reach out to them and say, oh my gosh, I'm really having a hard time here. I just don't want to write. And they can say, you can do it. And maybe even give you some ideas, or maybe even offer to come over and sit with you while you do it. I found that sometimes writing in the same room with other people can be a wonderful way of making myself do the work. And finally, creative support number 3. Write without fear. I know that when I first started working on original work, which was, oh my goodness, like 20 years ago now, I spent a good chunk of time psyching myself up to sit down and write. I spent a lot of time thinking about how the work would be received, what people would think of me, if what I wrote revealed something about me that I didn't want to reveal. And I spent almost more time doing that than I spent actually doing the writing. And although I look back on my younger self with no small amount of chagrin and think about all the time that I wasted, I also try to remember that this is a journey, and to think about my younger self with some kindness, because it's hard. It's hard to open yourself up. It's hard to put your work out there for other people to see and listen to. It's hard to be seen by your friends, by your family, by the public. And it's hard to be vulnerable, and creative work requires that kind of vulnerability and that kind of risk. But I'm here to tell you, A, that it's worth it. It's worth it to take the risk. It's worth it to take the leap. And B, you must do this without fear, or at least in spite of the fear, sitting alongside of the fear. Maybe fear can be your friend in this process. The important thing is to free yourself up to speak with your own voice, to say what you want to say, and not get so hung up on worrying about how you will be perceived, because that is one of those things that's completely out of your control for the most part. Or perhaps it's just a matter of reframing this idea of fear. I know for me, I have 2 small children and not a lot of time, so making art for me, whether it's writing or acting or directing or even brainstorming with a friend, it feels like a luxury. It feels like a refuge, like a sanctuary. And honestly, I don't have time for fear. All of that time that I used to spend being afraid of what people would think of me, I simply do not have the time for it anymore. I need to get down to the work right away. And I'm excited about doing the work, no matter what happens. So now when I step on stage, I feel this sense of gratitude and openness that I didn't used to feel because it's such a joy that I get to do it still. I've had to make lots of changes in my life to basically make my art fit around my life rather than my life fit around my art, which means that I can't do all of the things artistically that I wanted to do that I used to be able to do. But now when I get to do it, that fear has transformed into something that is more about being okay with whatever happens. It's stepping into the unknown and knowing that things will work out no matter what happens, and maintaining this idea that this is a privilege and a joy to create, especially to create in community, especially to share what you've created with other people. I was struck this last year at how great Mara Thomas is at doing that. She just jumps right in with this spirit of, I'm just going to try this and see how it works. And it's so inspirational. There are several people in this community who have that attitude of, we're just going to try it and see what works. No matter what happens, it's all going to work out okay. So there you have it. That's part one. Three strategies for creative support. Number one, find yourself some buddies to shore you up during that creative process. Number two, write consistently and regularly and do what you have to do to make yourself do it. Number three, create without fear. Now I know it's easier said than done to do this, and I hope that you are more consistent than I am with these strategies, but hopefully we can help ourselves by doing it together. Here we are at part two. I was so excited about the feedback that I received after episode one of Artist Soapbox, so thank you so much for your support and for sharing your comments with me. I wanted to tell you that I have recording time scheduled from now through the end of December, and I have about half of those slots filled with some really interesting artists that I can't wait for you to hear from. I've gotten some questions about the Artist Soapbox podcast, so I thought I would take a couple of minutes to answer those questions now. The first question, will you only be featuring theater artists on the Artist Soapbox podcast? And the answer is no. It may be theater heavy because I have a soft spot for the theater makers of the Triangle area, being one myself, but the next two interviews that I have are with artists who are not working in traditional theater, who are working in other mediums, and it is my dream to diversify as much as possible. We have so many interesting, diverse artists in this community, and I want to spread the net as widely as I can to include everybody. In fact, I think that interdisciplinary art is the future of local art making. It's how we will all survive and grow, and the more we can learn from each other and cross-pollinate, the better. Question number two, what are you going to talk about in Artist Soapbox episodes? Ultimately, we'll talk about whatever the artist guest sitting across from me would like to focus on and talk about, because they are my guests and they're so generously sharing their time and opening up about their process and their work. However, I can tell you that there are certain things that I am interested in and I'll be asking questions around. And those things include forming an artistic community, our relationships with our audience, collaboration, new models of making work. I'm very interested in new ways to approach the process and the product that we are pulling together in our community. I'm very interested in interdisciplinary work, the process, and the intent. The why and the how interest me greatly. Question number three, why are you doing a podcast anyway? The answer is, it's a very long story, and there is a story attached to it, although I'm not going to get into that today. That's another podcast. Suffice it to say that I think we have an amazing wealth of local artists here in the Triangle area, and I'm really excited to talk to them, to have them talk with one another and with our community. And I hope that you all find inspiration in the conversations that we have. So that's it for episode two of Artist Soapbox. Thanks so much for joining me. If you noticed anything different about today's episode, it's because I'm recording in my home studio for the first time on my Blue Yeti microphone. Normally, the folks at Shadowbox Studio in Durham are so generous in supporting this podcast and helping me out. But I also wanted to set up my own in-home studio to give myself a little bit of flexibility, and also because sometimes I just want to put my bathrobe on and record at 11 o'clock at night when the children are asleep and the spouse is asleep. That is happening right now. If you don't know Shadowbox Studio in Durham, check them out, shadowboxstudio.org. I would appreciate it so much if you would give me feedback on this episode and on the previous episode and in general. And you can reach me at artistsoapbox.org. There's a contact form there that you can send to me, or you can send me an email, artistsoapbox@gmail.com. Please share this around, reach out, talk with one another, and talk with me too. Thank you, and we're out.